This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. No complicated medical speak, just straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Now, here's the host of Eat Great, Live Well Radio, food psychology coach and best-selling author, Janelle McCauley.
Hi, and welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm Janelle McCauley, and I'm so glad you joined us today. My promise to you is that if you take action on the information we provide each week, you will transform your health and your life. Before I introduce my guest for today's show, I want to invite you to go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com and download our free ebook, Overcoming Portion Distortion. It's packed with quick and easy ideas for making family mealtime fun, friendly, and healthy. So get your free copy today at eatgreatlivewellradio.com. We've got another great show for you today, so grab a pen and paper and your favorite beverage, and let's get started. You know, healthcare is undergoing a revolution in this country, with the focus rapidly changing from caring for sick patients to providing wellness care. And our guest on today's show is right in the middle of that revolution. Tammy Lynn Guns is an executive for one of the largest healthcare systems in Colorado. She's also an author and speaker focused on helping clients develop their own personal power while building their self-respect. We met Tammy at a recent eWomen Network conference in Dallas, and her message was so inspiring that I just knew I wanted to help her get that message out. On today's show, we're going to be talking with Tammy about the healthcare industry and how it's changing and what you can do to enhance your own wellness and take responsibility for your own health. Welcome, Tammy.
Hi, thank you for having me. I really am excited to be here today.
I'm really excited for our conversation. It's a little bit different than some of the conversations we've had, but I think it's so important. And I'd love to start our conversation by just asking you if you tell our listeners a little bit more about your background and what you see in the near future for healthcare in America.
Sure. Well, from an educational standpoint, I have a master's degree in accounting. I also have a master's degree in health service administration. From a work experience, I've worked at both Arthur Andersen as well as KPMG, which are a public accounting firm. And then as far as healthcare, which is, of course, our topic today, I've worked at 3 academic pediatric hospitals, and right now I work for the largest healthcare organization in my state. How I see healthcare changing, there's so much going on. It is rapidly changing from exactly what you had introduced. It is rapidly changing to really looking at how do we take care of patients in the well environment versus waiting until they get sick. The reason why this is so important is we have very limited healthcare dollars that we can spend in this country. If we don't spend the money on healthcare, we can spend it on education, we can spend it on our roads, we can spend it in other areas. And our costs for healthcare are so high, and yet we're not seeing the outcomes with those high expenditures. So what we're trying to do is really look at how do we better serve our patients, how do we better serve people, and the way that we do that is truly taking care of them while they're still healthy instead of waiting till they get till they're sick.
No, I think that's really important. And I also think it's really important for people to really take a much more proactive role in their health care. I think oftentimes we go to the doctor, and while the doctors are absolutely trained and know a lot about how to treat disease, I think sometimes we go in and we only give them part of the story, and they don't have a lot of time to spend with the patients, and so sometimes really important things are missed. So it's important to ask the right questions, to really take a proactive approach so that we get the right results.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you hit upon it. It's interesting right away. You're saying they don't have enough time. So primary care providers have very large patient panels. They have within their practices sometimes in excess of 2,000 patients or 3,000 patients. So, yes, you are right. When you are going in, you may have a 15-minute time slot. And so they're reviewing your history. They're reviewing what's going on. You're right. We need to ultimately take a proactive approach with our health care ourselves, because ultimately we're the ones that would pay the price, right? If we're sick, we're the ones who are going to suffer the most. So we need to be going into the doctor, taking the time, certainly explaining what's going on with us, because of the fact that our healthcare system is pretty overburdened, and you know those time slots to be able to see your primary care provider are relatively short.
They are, and I always encourage people to make notes before they go to the doctor, because then they'll remember the things that are really important. Because I know when I go, you start down a path and you don't always remember all the things that you want to share until you're at home after the appointment. And it's really important to write those things down, to take that, remember them. And I think a lot of people tend to spend more time when they're buying a car, when they're, you know, making a decision for something in their life, they spend more time preparing, reviewing, making sure they're asking the right questions than they do even on their own health care, which is something that, you know, once our bodies start to, you know, fall apart or we get sick, they're not replaceable. So we really need to take care of them.
Absolutely. You're right. We only have one body. We're given one body to take care of, and it's supposed to last for our lifetime. So we should have very much of a vested interest in ensuring that we are healthy. And, you know, getting back to what you were saying is, how do I see healthcare changing? Is as I see truly the healthcare providers now reaching out more to their patient population, to their patient panels, and making sure that people are coming in, you know, looking at their patient panels and saying, oh, I've noticed, you know, Mrs. Smith hasn't been in here in 2 years, and reaching out and saying, please, Mrs. Smith, it would be great if you could come in and come see me just to talk and let's hear about what, you know, your current health conditions. And so the providers now are taking far more of an active role in ensuring that their patients are coming in. Another problem that we see is if we don't actively reach out to our patients is they end up in a higher cost setting. So someone who doesn't come into their primary care provider will instead opt to go into an emergency department, which may not be the most appropriate place for them to be seen, certainly from a cost perspective, or else they'll go into an urgent care where that appointment could have been more appropriately seen within the primary care provider's office.
Mm-hmm. Now, that makes a lot of sense. And I know some people that have, you know, didn't either have insurance or didn't have a health care provider that they could turn to, so they waited to get care. And, you know, one of the stories just breaks my heart, because, you know, the person ended up with breast cancer and she didn't survive. And had she been able to go or gone earlier, it would have been very treatable. So oftentimes people wait until they're really sick, and at that point the options for care are so much more limited.
You're absolutely right, which is why we really encourage preventative care. It's better on truly all fronts. Certainly from the patient's perspective, you know, like you're saying, I mean, the sad outcome of the story you just mentioned, and unfortunately, I could give you many more stories of this exact same situation where had people come in earlier, they would have been treatable and certainly could have, you know, extended their life. And so it's much better for people to get in earlier. It's also, when you look at it from a societal perspective, it costs less as well. Because again, remember, we have limited dollars within our society to spend, and, you know, instead of spending them on healthcare, we could be helping our education system, or, like I said, or helping roads, or more firemen, or more policemen. So it's better to really be, you know, cognizant of where those dollars are being spent, and so it's better to have the preventative care, which is why, again, our primary care providers are trying to reach out far more, get these preventative care measures taken care of, get these standardized tests which can help diagnose these problems earlier, and then, of course, you know, make a much better outcome for the patient.
Absolutely. And I think having those baseline tests and having, you know, a metric, something in place, so you know then when something is not going right, you have some idea of when it may have started, and that also gives us much better options for treatment.
Oh, absolutely, yes. When you have the baseline, then you know what's normal and what is not normal with that particular patient. You're right. So it is so much better to get in. But it also, you know, the responsibility also falls on the patients to be able to say, let's get in there, let's get in my primary care doctor at least once a year. Mm-hmm. I can tell you with being an employed person within a very large healthcare organization, my company is very concerned about the health of the employees for, you know, lots of reasons. And we actually are encouraged to go in and see our primary care providers every single year. We have a very strong wellness program at my company, which is helping with education, helping to understand, you know, healthcare issues. There's also financial incentives that the company offers to be able to be at appropriate weight, have appropriate blood sugar levels, the cholesterol levels, things like that. So our company is really invested in, you know, certainly if we're going to go out there and say we're going to take care of patient populations, we should certainly start with our own employees and making sure that our own employees are healthy.
No, absolutely. And when I worked in the corporate environment, I had a lot of those same things. The challenge today is so many of, you know, the people around us are self-employed or work for very small companies that may not have the same kind of medical coverage and insurance options. So they may not have those same resources. So that one of the challenges is how do they get access to some of those things that people that work for large corporations have access to?
Well, you're absolutely right, and as far as the sheer numbers go, more people work for smaller companies than do work for larger companies, so you're right, but we're leaving out a large segment of our population if we don't, you know, take care of those folks. Now, it's nice that insurance has become more affordable for small corporations, or now you can certainly buy your exchanges online, you can buy your own health insurance at a much more affordable rate. And again, those plans, which are great because they're increasing the coverage, they're removing lifetime maximums for folks as far as if you have a chronic condition, you don't have to worry that you're going to outlive your expenditures for your health care. But what's also nice is they encourage and they usually have very low cost, if no cost, preventative care. So they encourage folks to get into their doctors. So by having insurance now more readily available at those smaller companies, we're seeing far more of those people coming into our healthcare environment and getting that preventative care. So I think that's actually very encouraging that is happening.
That's great, and it certainly gives people a lot more options. We need to take a quick break, and when we come back, I want to shift our conversation just a little bit and really talk about one of the things that you really focus on, and that's people increasing their personal power to really help build their self-respect and really get them to shift the way they are approaching the decisions that they're making and really help shift their whole life. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Tammy Lynn Guns. And before the break, we were talking about healthcare and talking about it from both the role of the provider, but also the individual to really take more ownership in their healthcare. And before we start talking about developing your own personal power, I want to ask you, Tammy, one of the things I love to ask all of my guests is what motivates them to live healthy and to share their message about healthy living with others. We call it your big why. So what is your big why, and how has it motivated you to live a healthier life?
Well, that's a great question. And to be completely honest, it's because of the fact that I've spent a great number of years in my profession working in the healthcare environment. I have seen firsthand the impact, both, you know, again and again, of people making poor life choices. So I see people in the hospital who wouldn't be there if they had made different life choices. People who don't exercise, or people who don't eat right, or they don't handle their stress right, so they turn to, you know, drugs or alcohol, all of that ends up having an impact on our bodies over time. And because it's been very visual for me as I walk the halls of our hospitals, I see firsthand the impact of those lifetime decisions.
Yeah, I'm sure you see that just day in and day out.
Yes, I do. I see it day in and day out. Now, there's certainly a majority of folks that are in our hospitals as well that, you know, it's not from their life choices, but there's a significant amount that are. And so you can see that had they made different choices with how they chose to eat, or how if they had made different choices with exercising and taking care of their bodies, that they wouldn't end up having some of the chronic illnesses or, you know, needing joints replaced, knees and hips and things like that. So, you know, I really believe very much so that we can have a health span that equates to our lifespan. I don't want my health span to run out before my lifespan does, and I know it's possible. I know it's very possible by taking care of myself, my mind, my body, my spirit, you know, all in conjunction for my overall health.
So can you expand on that a little bit? So you're talking about all areas when you're talking about your health span?
Oh, absolutely. So the reason why I say that is I can give you numerous examples of folks who actually are very good at exercising. They actually are very good in their choices when it comes to food and, you know, health supplements. But if they forget the other leg of the stool, which is being able to take care of the stress and manage anxiety and manage things that are going on, that I've seen people get sick. And so I really do believe you have to pay attention to all areas. It is not enough to just exercise. It is not enough to eat right. It is not enough, you know, you have to do all of them. You have to manage your stress. And certainly the way that our society is, we have very fast-paced lives, which don't always encourage good eating. You know, people are running in between meetings, you know, through a drive-through, or, you know, people are not choosing to have exercise as part of their life, or people who are good on those two avenues but who forget to manage their stress. All of that over time can have a negative impact on our health.
No, I absolutely agree with you. And I think that one of the things, I was actually having a conversation just a couple days ago with someone, and she's a tall, gorgeous, you know, blonde, I mean, looks really, really healthy. And she was talking about, while she's always been thin, she didn't used to eat well. So the perception is when you look at someone that you judge them to be healthy or unhealthy based on how they look, but she had a lot of stress in her life. She had a lot of things going on, and she really made some major shifts so that now her inside matches her outside. But I think we often make judgments on whether we think someone's healthy based on how they look and not knowing all the facts.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you, because I can give you numerous examples of folks who look fit, look trim, always have a smile on their face, but that's the mask that they wear for the outside world, and yet they're truly not managing the stress of their life. And that's what can really get where, you know, when people don't manage their emotions and they become what I call garbage can sufferers, where instead of acknowledging that they have things going on in their life and really taking the time to, you know, sit down and process their emotions or process things that have happened, instead what they do is they'll stuff down into the garbage can those emotions because they don't want to feel them, right? Because we also as a society are told a lot, oh, be happy, you know, there's tons of commercials on TV that tell us to be happy. And so sometimes we don't want to actually acknowledge those negative emotions, and by not acknowledging them, then we don't process them. And what happens is it's kind of like a ball that you're trying to keep underwater. You have to use a lot of effort to keep that ball underwater, and it keeps wanting to come up. Those emotions want to come up. They want to be processed, and then they can certainly pass through. But if we don't process them, we're really stuffing them down into our cells, into our tissues, and then they really rot over time. So that has a big impact on our overall health if we don't manage our emotions.
I absolutely agree. And what happens is when you don't deal with them, when you really don't address them, while you can tend to push them down and keep them, you know, like you say, you know, below the water for a while, when something stressful happens in your life or something unexpected, that what happens is then you tend to explode. They really surface, and at that point, it's often very challenging to deal with them, and they can get to the point where it really takes you almost over the edge, because that, you know, you just haven't dealt with them when they came up. So I think it's much better to deal with them and, you know, get the support you need, do that so that you really get it under control and you're not trying to keep stuffing something down.
Oh, I fully agree with you on that, because another thing too is what people, while they're trying to stuff them down, will turn to all, you know, other measures which try to mask that, whether it's the drugs, the alcohol, the shopping, you know, all of those things that are not processing those emotions. And
food and stress eating fit there very well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I also see something that a lot of people do is they will not manage their day-to-day well, in that they will either use their current energy to invest in the past, which is something we cannot change, and they will continue to spin and spin and spin on things that happen that they cannot change. Mm-hmm. Or what they'll do is they will spend their current energy dollars, which I like to say you wake up with so many energy dollars in the morning and spend them wisely. They'll finance their future. So they'll worry about, oh, I'm worried, you know, is this going to happen? Or I'm worried that that's not going to happen. And so instead they're investing their energy dollars in the past, which is really a bad investment, or in the future, instead of spending them on really the power of now, which is living today and only, you know, taking everything day by day. Why would you? Our bodies do not recognize the difference between what is real and what is imagined from a stress standpoint. Mm-hmm. So if you end up worrying about events in the future, which may never happen, you now have created that stress in the present moment versus something that may never, ever happen.
And, you know, I think that's really a good reminder for people, because your mind doesn't know the difference between what you think is going to happen and what actually happened when you think about it. So it really is important to, you know, I think focus on today. You certainly need to, you know, think about things that you're going to be doing and where it all fits in the big picture. But I think we do spend a lot of time wondering about what if, when the actual reality of those what ifs happening is so small, yet it's taking up so much of our time, emotion, energy, and we've only got so much to spend. So I love that when you say, you know, really choose and spend it wisely.
Well, right, because if you run out of your current energy dollars, then you'll have to borrow from somewhere, which is, then you end up borrowing from your cell tissues, which is a negative impact on your health. So it is important to really manage that. I also tell people that when you wake up with certain energy dollars, you can add to your bank throughout the day. If you are around positive people, and they actually make you feel better after you have talked to them or been around them, but you also want to stay away from those energy vampires or energy suckers that will rob from your energy bank account. And we all know who they are. I mean, some of them we can't avoid because we work with them, but, you know, really trying to be very careful who you choose to be with in your surroundings, because they can impact your health very much so.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that oftentimes we say we can't avoid them, and there are cases where we absolutely can't avoid being around someone, but we can also make a conscious decision not to engage with them. I know, you know, when I was in the corporate world, a lot of times someone will tend to push your buttons, but they can only do that if we allow them to do that. You know, we can turn around and walk away. We don't have to stay there and continue to, you know, be part of what's going on.
I fully agree with you there, because you're right. I'm still in the corporate environment, and so there are certain people that I run across who, as you're indicating, can push your buttons. But you don't have to accept that, or you can just say, you know, that's their issue, not mine. I'm here to do my job. And so you don't have to spin on that. So after they walk away, the more you think about it, you're spinning, and then you're right. It's your choice. You made that choice to continue that suffering, so to speak, by reliving what just happened versus saying, you know, it is what it is. That person's never going to change, and then you just move on and do your job.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we need to take another quick break. And when we come back, I really do want to have you talk about how people can create their own personal power. I think it's a perfect follow on and continuation of what we've been talking about. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com, and let's start the conversation.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Tammy Lynn Guns. And before the break, we were talking about how we all have choices, and I love what you were talking about, Tammy, where you said, you know, we all have current energy dollars and to spend them wisely. And if anyone missed that part of the conversation, you absolutely want to go back and listen to it. I'd like to ask you, Tammy, we had mentioned, and I know you talk a lot about developing your own personal power, and I'd love to have you just share a little bit about that and how that plays into developing self-respect and really understanding more about who we are.
Yeah, that's a really wonderful question. What I like to talk about is I want people to realize that they're more in control of their lives than they think. Anyone can be a victim, but it's only in the short run. You cannot be a victim in the long run. So we have tremendous personal choice in our lives. So we can choose to eat the donut. We could choose to eat the apple. We can choose to sit on the couch, or we could choose to get up and go for a walk. So they're certainly within our own power. But a lot of people will say, well, what about the stresses of life? I don't choose them. Like, I didn't choose to lose my job, or I didn't choose for some, you know, negative things to happen. You're right. I mean, there are some things that are out of our control, but how we react to those events in life is really our own choice. You know, I say to people that, you know, my boss certainly has power over me at my job, right? I mean, my boss has the ability to fire me or to keep me on. However, if I'm working for a boss that would be disrespectful to me, or I was working in a negative environment that I really didn't feel was good for my overall health, maybe I have to stay there in the short run because I need to pay my mortgage, I need to put food on the table for the kids. However, I don't need to be there in the long run. You know, 5 years from now, if I'm still in that same miserable situation, I don't have anybody to blame. I can't blame my boss. I have to blame myself for not picking up and making a choice to move to a different company. You know, it's the same thing with some of our unhealthy relationships, whether they're friendship relationships, whether they're romantic relationships. There are people that, we will have in our lives, and you hear people say, you know, I'm in a really bad, you know, romantic relationship. Well, again, maybe you can't get out of it immediately because maybe you live with the person and you share expenses, and so it's not something you could leave tomorrow. But you need to make a plan. You need to make a plan to go ahead and get out of that and do what's, you know, in your own best interest. So people have way more choice in their lives than they actually really think that they do. And again, in the short run, maybe we don't have as many choices, but we certainly have more choices in the long run. We can choose the environments that we're in, and we can choose how we react to stress. I really believe very much in setting personal boundaries, and if someone crosses those personal boundaries, then they don't remain as my friend, or they wouldn't remain as my romantic partner, or they wouldn't remain as a place that I would choose to work. So I do think people have control, and they can change their environment.
I absolutely agree with you, and I also think that if we tell ourselves that we don't have any choices, then we're not going to see the options that are available to us, because if we believe it's true, then, you know, that's our reality. But if we believe we have options, then more things present themselves. You know, it's just like when you're, you know, make a decision and you buy a car. Before you buy that car, you never see them anywhere. And then once you buy it, you see that color or you see that car everywhere because it's opened up what's your reality. And I think that if we tell ourselves there are no options, there are no choices, we're stuck, then you're going to be stuck. It's not until we shift the way we think about it that things really open up.
Oh, I absolutely 100% agree with you because, you know, people will find excuses. You know, the conference that we were just at, they said a lot, you know, start losing your excuses so you can find your results. And mm-hmm. It is easy to say, well, I can't get a different job because I don't have the right degree, or I don't have the right experience, or I don't have this, I don't have that. Well, instead of focusing on the negative, why don't you focus on the positive? And believe me, I have been in lots of different life situations where at initial blush, it would seem like you don't have choices. But when you sit down, you get yourself centered, you breathe, and you relax, then all of a sudden different opportunities will present themselves. And I actually think a lot of times people will use their excuses because it's really speaking out of a place of fear. People really, you know, the treasure you seek is in the cave you fear to enter. So a lot of times people fear the unknown. You know, you hear a lot of times about people who are in abusive relationships for years and years and years, and yet they never leave. It's because they fear the unknown. They fear what their life could look like. Even though their current situation is very undesirable and very dysfunctional, they still fear making that change. It's not that the opportunities aren't there. They are there. They are being held in a captive state of inaction by fear.
And I absolutely agree. I think that we do tend to, you know, have that fear come up in us, and it's hard to take that next step. But what I really like to get people to do is just take a baby step. Just take one small step. I think oftentimes when we're looking at making choices or we're looking at taking action, we tend to think of it and see this whole big thing, and we don't know how to get there. We don't know what's going to happen when we do get there. But what we forget is that a lot of small steps will travel a big distance. When I'm taking people through our Eat Great Live Well program, one of the things I tell them, and it's kind of one of those aha moments for many people, is just make one small, simple change each week. At the end of 52 weeks, you're going to have made a big transformation to your life and your health. And the year's going to go by whether you take one and do one change or whether you do 52. But you're going to be in a much better place if you just do one small thing a week. You can drink more water. You can eat one more piece of fruit or add an extra vegetable. It's simple to do when you look at it that way. But when you look at losing 10 pounds or 20 pounds, it can be daunting. You know, small steps get big results.
They absolutely do. And so what you're speaking to is the consistency factor in that, you know, we all know the story of the tortoise and the hare. And a lot of us act like the hare on January 1st, where we're at the starting line and, you know, we start going to, maybe we say we want to lose weight. So we're at the gym every single day and we're eating healthy and we're doing major, major changes. But then, metaphorically, we do what the hare does, which is fall asleep under the tree, and then we lose sight of our goal. Whereas if we're like the tortoise and we take consistent steps, always towards our goal, you will eventually get there. I love what you have to say because it is those consistent, disciplined steps that get us somewhere. But, you know, the key to anything is action. You have to take action. Sitting back and thinking about it is going to get you nowhere. You need to get up and take action.
It's interesting you say that because I've been having some conversations recently with people about taking action and having that conversation a lot, actually, after coming back from the eWomen Network conference. And because people say they really want it, and sometimes, you know, while I believe we really do want it, we just don't know how to accomplish it, so we don't do anything. And the one thing I've learned, and I didn't really learn it until I was in my early 50s, but just taking those small, consistent steps and doing the things that we really believe in, doing the things that we're passionate about, and doing them consistently. And I love the way you put the analogy of the tortoise and the hare, because I hadn't really connected the two before like that, into that analogy. But doing it really can just give you things that you never expected. I was at a conference. I mean, I was recognized as the managing director of the year for eWomen Network. 5 years ago, I never even thought that was, like, it wasn't even something I would have even thought about. But what I did is I just kept doing what I believed were the right things, and they start to build on each other, and then you get amazing momentum towards getting healthy, towards getting what you want in your life. That's why I love, you know, when you're talking about really just developing your own personal power, because I think once you do that, you get a lot more confidence in making those right decisions, in, you know, taking that action.
Oh, absolutely. You know, when you have a goal, you always want to keep your eye on that goal and on that target. And if you advance every single day in the direction of your dream, you can't help but get there. You know, another great example is someone like Thomas Edison. So he's this, you know, wonderful inventor of all time. And a lot of people don't realize that he tried 10,000 different filaments before he finally found the right one for our incandescent light bulb. And his viewpoint was, I did not fail 10,000 times. I just found 10,000 ways that didn't work. And so he got to his end goal, right? And he didn't get there on the first try or the second try, right? So a lot of us sometimes, if we do something and we don't see immediate results, we want to quit. Oh, it didn't work anyway. Well, no, that's not true. It just meant that that way didn't work. There's another way that will work. And if you have the desire, that's where you have to have that burning desire in your gut to really want something, because you'll never quit on your dream then, and you eventually will get to the finish line because your burning desire keeps you advancing in the direction of your dream.
No, that's a great reminder, and I think so often, and especially in today's environment where everything is instant and everyone wants instant gratification, that if they don't get it the first time, they give up. And you know, we have lots of conversations with parents who are trying to get their kids to eat, because it can often take up to 12 times to expose a child to a food before they'll even try it. Yet, you know, we give it to them once and they say they don't like it, so we move on to something else and give up. But oftentimes, you do need to have that repetition. You do need to look at why it didn't work and what can you try differently versus just saying, okay, it failed, I'm done, move on, you know, because then we never get really what we're looking for.
Oh, absolutely, because, you know, winners never quit and quitters never win. You don't want to quit. If you really desire something, you want to keep, you know, looking for different ways. Like you're saying, whether it's the food choices or whatnot, you just want to make sure that you do not quit. You can't help but get there if you do not quit.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we need to take our final break. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about health supplements, because I know at a conference we had a conversation on that. So I just want to talk a little bit about that, because I know it's a really confusing topic. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Tammy Lynn Guns. And before the break, we were talking about developing your own personal power. We were talking about really making choices, and most importantly, getting into action, because so often we say we want something, but then our actions don't connect with what we are actually say we want. So when you get that disconnect, you don't get the results. So I love the saying, when you lose your excuses, you find your results. And I'd love to shift our conversation just a little bit, Tammy. I know when we were at the eWomen Network conference, we had a conversation about, in addition to everything else you're doing, that you recently became involved in a health supplement company, QualLife. And I'd just like to ask you a little bit, why, you know, did you make that connection? And why are supplements, in your view, important to people?
Well, the reason why I ended up getting involved with QualLife is because I have been taking health supplements for years. I think actually since I've been around 30 years old, I've been taking health supplements. The reason I take them is even if you are really good about eating good foods, lots of fruits, vegetables, and such, we can't always be certain that we're getting all of the necessary vitamins and all the necessary minerals from our foods. And so for me, that's a way to be 100% certain that I am providing my body with what it needs to be healthy. The analogy I use is, let's say you were going to go bake a cake. And one cake, you have everything. And then the other cake you're trying to bake, and you don't have the eggs, you don't have the flour, you don't have the vanilla. Well, that cake is going to come out a lot different than the one where you had all the necessary ingredients. And I know that my body is, just as all of our bodies, are these great, fascinating, wonderful machines. And they are very good about replicating and duplicating new cells. And they're very good at their own healing process. So I want to make sure that I input into my body the ability to create healthy new cells. There are no cells in our body that are older than 7 years old. So I don't care how old you are. You could be 60, you could be 70. There's not a cell in your body that's older than 7 years. It is never too late to create a whole new body. And because we are constantly replacing our cells, I want to make sure that those cells, like I said, have the proper ingredients so that they are creating healthy new cells. I believe that you can be healthy your entire life. I believe that you don't, you know, some of these old paradigms where people think as you age, you slow down, or, you know, you have to not be healthy. That is absolutely not true. You can be healthy your entire life. You can have energy your entire life. And so for me, I got involved with QualLife because I already take the supplements. And this particular company, I love what they do. They have very, very high quality products. From the beginning of the manufacturing process till the very end, I believe in what they do. And they also have a vast array of products that they offer. You know, you don't go into any health food store and just see one product. And the reason why is we're all different. So your particular needs may be different than mine or different than my children's or different than somebody else's, you know, based on your own health history. So that's why I got involved with it, because I really believe in helping people, and I want to be able to help people get what it is that they need in their own lives to be healthy.
So one of the questions that people always ask, though, is how do they know what they should be taking? How do they know what their body needs? Where do they even get started?
See, that's a great question, right? So Don Shula always says that it's the start that stops most people. So most people would probably say, I don't even know where to start. Well, what we do is we really believe in education. So you have to be very well educated on the products. And that's why our particular company is very big into educating the individual. We start by asking lots of questions. So tell us about yourself. Tell us about, you know, some of your health history. You know, where do you have aches and pains? You know, things like that. And so once you get some information, you can start to help people. Now, I also, going back to our earlier conversation, it's not like somebody right out of the gate is going to take 20 different things. You really do want to start small, like you were saying. Start with one thing. Take it for a while, and how does that help you? Are you feeling more energized? Are you feeling less tired, or do you have less pain in your joints? So you really want to start out small. You want to see how the products are working for you, and then if they work, great, and if they don't, then we can switch to something else. We really are not about QualLife. We're really about everyone else's life. We want their lives to be healthy.
That's a great way to start, because I think it's even with foods, and it really works very similar when you're eliminating foods or you're trying different ways of eating. You want to make just one change at a time, because then you can really measure the impact of that change and really know whether it's making a difference or addressing the issue that you've got, versus if you make a lot of changes, you really don't know which one is impacting the results.
Absolutely. Well, that's why they do scientific studies where they only really, they isolate one variable, because otherwise you can't say what was the reasoning. So you're right. I mean, it is much better to start out small and see how you feel and see how that works. And then you can certainly change or add on to that. I take a lot of different supplements, but I believe in all of them, and I know that they're, you know, keeping me healthy. I'm above the age where, you know, I'm in my 50s now, so I'm an AARP member.
I'm right there with you.
But it's really funny when people meet me, they think I'm in my mid-30s. Mm-hmm. So I actually, here I am telling all of your radio show guests that I'm that age, but most, I don't tell people my age because it's interesting, they think I'm a lot younger, and I think it's just because I have a lot of energy and because I do care very much about my health and staying healthy.
But, you know, age is just really a number, I think. For me, I don't mind telling people my age because they can look at me and say, wow. You know, they're surprised that, you know, I just turned 59 years old. They're surprised I'm the age I am. But, you know, if you take care of yourself, if you do some of those right things, make good choices, it really does, you know, it's really powerful. You know, we've really had a great conversation today, and we talked about a number of things from, you know, the healthcare industry and some of the things going on there. We've talked about creating your own personal power and building your self-respect. We've talked about getting into action, you know, and even talking about vitamins and supplements and how they can help you. How can our listeners learn more about you and some of the things that you're doing? How can they get a hold of you?
Okay, well, I have a couple ways that your listeners can get a hold of me. I have a website that they can go to, which is TammyLynnGunns.com. And they can also reach me by email, which is TammyLynnGunns@gmail.com. I am very much about helping other people. I believe very much in paying it forward. So if your listeners have additional questions, I am more than happy to help them. I actually... And anyone who reaches out to me by email at the TammyLynnGunns@gmail.com, for your first 10 listeners that reach out, I am right now in the final stages of putting together a DVD, which is called Your Ultimate Daily Guide for Success. And your first 10 listeners that do that, I will send them a free copy of it. It won't be available for a couple more weeks, but I'm certainly happy to share that with your listeners.
Oh, well, thank you very much. And we will put a link on our eatgreatlivewellradio.com web page with today's episode so people can click there and get a hold of you too. So thank you very much for doing that. I love to, as we wrap up our time together, to ask our guests to give our listeners just one action item that they can implement in the next week to start creating a healthy future for themselves and the ones they love. What would you recommend they do?
Well, for me, I really emphasize the emotional component, which would be your mindset and your way to look at life. So what I would tell somebody is that they should look in the mirror. They should say, if it is going to be, it is up to me. And they need to know that they have one body, and they should treat it with dignity and respect. And always know that they are worthy, they are lovable, and they deserve goodness in their life. And so it starts with you and it ends with you.
I love that. Thank you very much. And thank you very much for a great conversation today. I really enjoyed it.
I did as well. It was an absolute pleasure. I appreciate being on your show.
Thank you. So until next week, remember that even small changes can make a positive difference in your health and your life. Healthy choices you make every day add up over time to create a healthy future for yourself and your family. Be sure to join me each week as we continue the conversation on how to build a healthier relationship with food and with yourself. And again, I invite you to go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com and be part of the conversation. Click on our social media and Facebook link and share your thoughts. Share what you loved about today's conversation. Share your questions, and we'll make sure we get you more answers. Take care. Have a great and healthy week. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you for tuning in to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. Each week at this time, we bring you straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Join us next Thursday and every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on the EWN Radio Network. To get a replay of this week's show, listen to past shows, or contact Janelle, go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com. Have a great week, and remember, you can choose to eat great and live well.